Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Do I have a show for you today, hot off the press? A fascination of mine, moods. Anxiety, depression, endorphins, your perception of reality. My fundamental belief, working with sick people for a long, long time, is that illness, almost, not always, but almost invariably, is blocked creative force. Now, say that to someone that's been in low back pain for a year and watch the look that you get. But nonetheless, on the other side of it, anybody that's been through chronic debilitating pain, disease, cancer, you name it, and has gotten to the other side, will tell you, in retrospect, it was just unhappiness. It was blocked creative force. Now that's a jump, and that's an evolution, and that's something you learn through trial and error to wrap your mind around. It's something you fight, because no one wants to really get to the bottom of things because it hurts. But that is the reality. And that's why I do this show, to give you reality, because I don't think, by and large, American holistic medicine delivers reality to people. I think they try, but I don't think we quite have a functional model. So I have a fascination with mood, anxiety, depression, the autonomic nervous system, endorphins, enkephalins, DMT, the pineal gland, the hypothalamus. And where you really see this play itself out is in drug withdrawal. Where you really see this play itself out is, in a sense, everybody has a little addiction to that little thing they know they shouldn't do, but they do anyway because it gets them through the day. Now, Aldous Huxley, Brave New World, prophesied a day when we would all function this way. And we've gotten about as close as we've ever been when we look at the SSRIs, when we look at the benzodiazepines, when we look at the various chemical miracles that we deliver, and yet there's another side to it. What side is that? Well, get to the website. I hope you're on the website. I hope you're doing the show through the pictures. If you're new to the show, get to my website, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. Those of you who are on it, go to today's show and take a look at picture number 31. Look at picture number 31. This you see cropping up periodically in Time, in Newsweek, in the different journals, always in the holistic journals. Antidepressants don't work. Which isn't to knock them when you need them, because sometimes you really are on the brink. Whether it's mania or depression, sometimes you need help from, well, the power of synthetic drugs. But they come with such an enormous price. That, in essence, isn't what today's show is about, but it shows you that our culture is fascinated with this, because everybody wants to be happy and too many people aren't. Now, I'm going to make a case today. You usually don't hear me make a case for supplements. Not that I don't advise you to utilize herbs, God's plants, different types of supplements that are concentrates from God's plants, so on and so forth. I advise you to use them with discretion. Discretion meaning they're not cure-alls. But every now and then, there are these therapies. And I call them therapies. HCL therapy is a therapy. Prepping yourself with coin grass and milk thistle and turmeric, so on and so forth, to do gallbladder flushes are therapies. The cleanses are effectively therapies. They're utilizing herbs to play with your body's physiological processes and enhance them. And in this sense, I think herbs can be very useful. One that I haven't discussed yet, just because it, well, 220 shows, it just hasn't come down the pipe yet, but it's coming down hard now and thus out to you, is how you can use amino acids to regulate your moods, which is not to say they are a cure-all. It is to say they are a very helpful, potentially vital at times, contribution. And that's part of what we're going to get into today. I want to talk about mood, anxiety, depression, how you look at it, how you move with it. And for those of you who are in a good mood, get in a great mood. And for those of you who haven't had a happy day, maybe in 40 or 50 years, understand that for as much as you see your reality in a very dark way because of the things you've suffered, that is just a perception. And that you can use God's plants, you can use chemistry, you can use all the good things that are out there to shift your perception. Which again isn't to deny you your pain. You see, when you say this to people, you can shift your perception. They're quick to say to you, yeah, but you don't know what I've gone through. Which is to say, I'm going to hold on to my perception because I've gone through it, you haven't, so don't tell me about it. And that's what people do, and that's very natural to do that. Nonetheless, it's not the truth. The truth is, whether you're a little bug being squashed or a giant elephant having its tusk torn out or a gorilla having its hand cut off to make an ashtray, or so on and so forth, everybody suffers. And the issue is everybody thinks they're the only person that does suffer. And that's kind of understandable, because when the baby gets hurt, the baby's only interested in fixing the baby, not fixing mankind. So we're all self-centered, and we have to allow ourselves our self-centeredness, but it develops its own form of short-sightedness or myopia. We tend to be and put ourselves in a little bubble of pain that only we can understand. And this is not true. So what do you do when you can't get on the other side of your anxiety? And what do you do when you can't get on the other side of the pain? You seek counsel. Well, the last 20 years have shown us that while you're seeking counsel, however you're seeking counsel, to whoever you're seeking counsel from, there's a whole chemistry underneath that. And that chemistry can change you from Jekyll to Hyde and from Hyde to Jekyll. Thus the show today. So I'm going to focus on amino acids, but I also want to bring in as much as I can of the overall chemistry, of the overall chemical mechanisms that work in the body to get you high every single day. All right. If you're on the website, fantastic. If not, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. Anxiety and depression, the power of amino acid therapy. Let's talk about amino acids. I can't skip the basics, especially for some of you. So what is an amino acid? Well, let's talk about what a bunch of amino acids that get strung together become. They become proteins. So when you eat steak, that's mostly protein. And that protein goes in, and we all understand that it's a building block of our bodies. Proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. These proteins are made of strings of amino acids. I want you to go to picture number two. And there's a string, picture number two, a string of amino acids. Glycine, phenylalanine, glutamine, arginine, cysteine, leucine, tryptophan, proline. There's a bunch of amino acids that have been isolated for many, many hundreds of years. Go to picture number three. There's the periodic chart of amino acids. Histidine, arginine, lysine, phenylalanine, alanine, methionine, leucine, cysteine, asparagine, serine, and they all have different qualities. We put them in different groups, we pull protons off them, and we talk about how they alter pHs, and there's so much about amino acid and its relationship in the body based upon, I'll just go to picture number 4. Take it this far, not that hard. Picture number 4. On the bottom there, it says primary structure. When amino acids connect to each other in your body, that sequence of connection is called the primary structure. So an amino acid by itself, connected to another amino acid, connected to a third. If you look at the bottom there, that's tyrosine, lysine, alanine, valine, asparagine, leucine, serine, histidine, phenylalanine, leucine, lysine, glutamine, so on and so forth. That's called the primary structure, that sequence. That sequence per protein changes. So there's, 22 amino acids? 8 of those are essential, meaning 8 your body doesn't make. And they'll combine in a primary structure. Now, if you look at, on that picture number 4, don't get a headache yet, secondary structure, those amino acid chains can take on a secondary configuration, meaning you can look at how those chains start to mold and move around in another structure. And they'll make what we call beta sheets or alpha helixes. And then we can take that secondary structure, and we can fold the alpha helix or the beta sheet into a tertiary structure. And then we can fold the tertiary structure into a quaternary structure. Now, everything that we talk about when we say a protein, so a hormone is a protein. A muscle is a protein. I mean, protein is a fundamental building block of the human body. And how it turns out and how it functions and what it is depends on the primary structure, the secondary structure, the tertiary structure, and the quaternary structure combined. And that's how you get the infinite variety of proteins in the body. Okay. That's not too tough. Really not. Now, we're going to focus on individual amino acids. So we're not looking at proteins because we found out, this has been known for a long time, that individual amino acids are precursors to the chemicals that control your mood. So when we say serotonin, there are precursors. When we say GABA aminobutyric acid, there are precursors. When we say glutamate, there are precursors to glutamate. So a lot of the things we found that control mood and have become our Prozacs, they have become our drugs that alter mood. Begin with understanding how amino acids alter mood. What we do with the drug, well, I've done a show in the past on that a few weeks ago. So all your drug therapies to control your mood, they're heavily linked to an understanding of what I'm explaining to you today. Now, you know the detour you're going to take. You're not going to do the drug. If you're on the drug, you have to understand how to get off the drug and what you face when you get off the drug. You know, the sad thing today is, if you go to a clinic, there was a guy down in Mexico, his name was William Hitt, H-I-T-T. Medical doctor, very, very knowledgeable about how to use intravenous amino acids. Today we have Murray Susser in West Los Angeles, a medical doctor, skilled, very skilled in how to use amino acids to get people off drug dependencies. We have a guy that worked with Bill Hitt for many years, John Homestead, down in San Diego, another medical doctor. And these guys have these clinics where you go and you get these amino acid drips to balance out your neurotransmitters, something I'm going to explain a bit about today, in the interest of getting you off drugs. Now, these therapies are very expensive. $10,000 to $20,000 to $40,000 to get you off your suicidal tendencies when you're on drugs and need to get off drugs. But what you have to understand is there's a perspective that's bigger than that. I want to give that to you today. And I want to suggest, in fact, that you have the option of going to your nutritional stores, your mothers, your Whole Foods, getting these amino acids. And if you really understand how to dig your heels in and weather the storm, you can use amino acids, whether they're intravenous or whether they're oral, as powerful tools to start to move you through the storm of withdrawal, or how to bring yourself down from anxiety or up from depression. And if you get the bigger picture over that, well, then you start to understand that the person you think you are and the way you act and what you're convinced is reality may just be a matter of using God's gifts to alter your perceptions of you. So let's take a look at some of these amino acids, and let's take a look at transmission across neural junctions in the body, controlling how you see your world, because that's ultimately where we're going here. Let's go up to the brain. Picture number 23. If you're new to the show, this is Dr. Vincent Medici. You're on straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's with two T's, Straight Talk. You're on show number, what is it, 220, 221? How many shows have we done here? 224. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Had the wonderful pleasure of saying goodbye to a woman from the islands in Polynesia today who listened to my shows intensely. I mean, she studied them intensely. And she studied them so well that I had the pleasure of conversing with her almost as a colleague about her and about how the information on these shows related to her. And we've been doing this. And although she's from a far off place in a distant land across the Pacific, she took 45 years of chronic debilitating pain, something that surely would have led to liver cancer. And she turned it around. And she did it primarily. I had my part, but she did it primarily driven off studying these shows. I have doctors studying these shows. I have the public studying these shows. And it is a very, very powerful tool. These shows are whittled down so that if you take the totality of them, they'll give you tools to heal that won't leave you a slave to supplements. They'll give you the true understanding of how to use herbs and how to keep a perspective on your healing. And this is what makes the show unique. Okay, let's take a look here at picture number 23. Now there, that's the inside of your brain. Picture 23. Those stellate-shaped cells are neurons, and those neurons have these fingers coming out, these projections called axons. So up in your brain, when we say neural transmission, when we say neurotransmitter, when we say electrical impulse, we're talking about these star-shaped cells that have these extensions called axons that tie into other star-shaped cells. And along the way, there are these gaps, and those gaps are called synapses. That's to put it short. Now, at the synapse, so let's go to the synapse. Let's go to a place here. Look at picture number 24. Got to give you some of the basics. Picture number 24. There's a basic neuron design. You're looking at the cell body. Notice that myelin sheath there? You don't have myelin up in the brain, but all your peripheral nerves are coated in myelin. Myelin's made of fat. If you have fat, the good fats, fats bind poisons. That's where your marijuana lives, in the fat. When you do drugs, when you do MDMA, ecstasy, when you do the benzodiazepines, Valium, Klonopin, When you do all your lipophilic drugs, it lives in the fat. It lives in the myelin sheath. It starts to interrupt transmission. Forget the synapse, the neural junction. We're going to get to that. But a lot of these drugs go into, along with the pesticides and the petrochem, anything that mixes with fat finds fat. Oddly enough, skinny people often suffer the worst. Why? The only fat they have is the fat they should have. But then there's no fat to store the garbage in the air, in the water, in the drugs they take. Sometimes it's not so good to be too thin. Again, it's that balance. But this neuron that you're looking at, right, you're looking at picture number, if you're lost, picture number 24. At the end of that, extreme lower right, synapse. That's the end of this neuron. And then it connects to another one. Now, that's a close-up on it. Now, where it connects to the next neuron is called the neural junction. So let's go to picture number 21. Now we're at picture 21. Now, there you go. This is where the action is. Okay? This is where the action is. You have a neuron there, or an axon. That yellow thing is an axon. And that axon is going to be connecting to another neuron. It's actually the dendrite of the neuron. And in between that yellow thing and that brown thing, this is picture 21, is a gap. That gap is called the synapse. Or the synaptic cleft. And in that yellow thing towards the end, you see those little raspberries. Those little magenta dots. And those are neurotransmitters. What's a neurotransmitter? Glutamate. GABA. Serotonin. Dopamine. And all these neurotransmitters have some effects on your autonomic nervous system. They speed you up or they slow you down. That's kind of a good way to look at it. We're going to discuss GABA and glutamate today. GABA slows you down and lets you relax. Glutamate speeds you up. They're both derived from amino acids. Now, who cares about amino acids? Because after all, amino acids are in food. Amino acids are in the protein. I want to make a quick statement. Then we're going to go back to picture number 21. I want to make a quick statement. Go to picture 26. Amino acids in the human body. I think there's 22. I can't remember. Those are all the amino acids. Let's see. 5 and 4 is 9 and 12, 15, right, 18, 20. They've got 20 there. I still think there's 22. At any rate, point is this. Some of them are essential. Essential amino acids. Why essential? Because you don't make them. Which means, if you're eating proteins that don't contain the essential amino acids, you're in trouble. Vegetarians and vegans do this all the time. They lose too much fat, they're too skinny, and they don't get enough protein. And combining rice with beans so you can get all 8 essential amino acids, you can do it, but still risky. Now, let's forget that. Let's just talk about the average person at Ralph's. Everyone's gone into Ralph's, Pavilions, Lucky's, Vons. Doesn't that make you feel when you're in those stores like you've died? Does to me. You know, it's late. You got to do something. Nothing else is open. There's always that 24-hour Ralph's somewhere, so you go in there at night. It's like walking into a coffin. Worse yet, if you go outside of California, like to Texas, you go to the suburbs where people used to eat farm food, and you go to these places, and there's no farms anymore where you can eat anything. The pesticide genetic content of the food is so bad that the farmers wear spacesuits to protect themselves from the pesticides, because as we've genetically engineered, we increase the bushel output. You can get way more grain from an acre now because of genetic engineering, and therefore you can use way more pesticide, and you increase your yield. This is what our nation's become. And so what was once farmland, where people ate off the farm, are now a bunch of people working in farm-related areas, farm-related jobs. And then they buy their food in these big megalithic stores. It's a horror. Our own horror is in Los Angeles. When you go into places like Ralph's and you don't see food, there's no food. Adele Davis said it a long time ago. She said, the irony of American nutrition is we're going to die with our bellies full. And you really get the sense of that. You can go in there and stuff your face to oblivion, but there's no food. Why am I harping on this? Because for as much as amino acids are in everything, we're not eating food anymore. And what does this mean? It means you can easily go into deficits of essential amino acids and find yourself short in the cookie of what it takes to produce serotonin, derived from tryptophan, GABA, derived from glutamine. And this happens all the time. And you see this. And why do you see this? Because when people go out and they do supplementations, ultimately we're going to get to supplementation. Tryptophan, glutamine, go to the bottom of the page, picture 33, don't blow them up. Tryptophan, glutamine, GABA, phenylalanine, theanine, above picture 32 there. You would think you're not going to be deficient in these. Go watch people eat in Ralph's. If 70% of your diet are carbohydrates, and you've got some crummy protein, if you have two slices of pizza, donuts, a spaghetti dinner, or a burger somewhere from a fast food joint, and that's really how you eat for the most part, and tons of people eat like that, the impact on their neurotransmission in terms of making the chemicals necessary to keep yourself in a low anxiety, good mood are not getting into your body. And this is the wonder of amino acid therapy. When you begin to apply this to drug addicts who don't eat right, obviously, and when you apply this to people who have high anxiety states or are manically depressed, for as much as you need to move the ball with therapy, these things can be indispensable. Check it out yourself in the literature. There's so much literature on this. There are so many testimonies behind this. And yet what? You did it and it didn't work. You see, that's why I do the show. Because if you tried tryptophan and it didn't work, or you tried glutamine and it didn't work, and you tried theanine or GABA and it didn't work, you're not approaching the paradigm correctly. When I say these things can do wonders for you, they can be important adjuncts. They can make significant contributions. That using amino acids to alter moods in the right direction can make a vital contribution. If you lose sight of the personal you in the full gamut of your profile, this is how you fail. And this is where the education comes in. So what we have is the public not really understanding the big picture. And because they don't, they end up hearing somebody say, oh, do amino acids because they're going to work. And they go out and they buy a bottle of tryptophan and they don't fall asleep. They go, ah, that stuff doesn't work. Or they hear something about the enteric nervous system and they go out and buy GABA. And that doesn't work. Or glutamine and that doesn't work. And then they try theanine and that doesn't work. Then they try them all and that doesn't work. And then they say, this is all a lot of garbage. That's why I do this show, to prevent that. To prevent that. Never do one therapy and lose sight of the personal you. So let's make that application. But before I get there, let's go back to that picture. Picture number 21. Now there it is for you. There's the presynaptic terminal where you're about to secrete. Let's say you're going to secrete serotonin. Let's say you're going to secrete serotonin. Now, serotonin is a mood elevator. serotonin uses tryptophan. And tryptophan is an essential amino acid that lots of people don't get. And if you're a high anxiety type, if you're a manic depressive type, you need to produce a ton of serotonin, and there's a million ways to block this. But let's just say you're a normal kind of guy, and you make enough of that, those little raspberries, those little magenta raspberries there, at the presynaptic terminal, we're looking at picture 21, and then those little raspberries get to the end, to the synaptic cleft, to the space, the synapse, and you drop all that stuff, and it gets received on the other side by receptor sites. And that's what transmits the impulse. Now, that impulse that gets transmitted will affect the autonomic nervous system. So we're going to get sciencey again. Those neurotransmitters crossing the synaptic cleft, binding to their receptor sites on the other side, are going to speed you up or slow you down. If you get too sped up, you're going to have anxiety. If you get too slowed down, you'll have depression. So the neurotransmitter thing, derived from amino acids, serotonin and GABA specifically now, glutamate, there's a third one, dopamine, there's a fourth one. These systems are amino acid derived and then have an influence on the autonomic nervous system, speed you up or slow you down. And they're all in reciprocity with each other. They're in reciprocity, meaning the autonomic nerves affect the neurotransmitters and the neurotransmitters affect the autonomic nerves. This is important functionally, you'll see later. I just want you to get these pictures. I want you to get comfortable with neurotransmitter, axon, synaptic cleft, receptor site. When you've done Prozac for a long time, in SSRI, Celexa, Prozac, what you do is, you see in this picture, picture 21, lower left-hand side, where it says number 7, reuptake of neurotransmitter to be recycled. Reuptake of neurotransmitter to be recycled. Picture 21, number 7, purple number 7 there. When you secrete, say, serotonin, the little raspberry, what you don't need of that serotonin will go back up to the presynaptic terminal. It'll get sucked back in. The body's smart. It's economical. It makes it. What doesn't get used, you pull back up. When you take an SSRI like Prozac or Celexa, it doesn't get reuptaked. SSRI. It's a reuptake inhibitor. When you take an SSRI, instead of that raspberry getting sucked back up, because it's excess, it's forced to stay there, then you have more coming to the other side. More comes to the other side. So you get high, and you like that. Drugs go in for a reason. They make you happy. You don't have anxiety. You're not depressed. And they do it by screwing around with this process. Now, the body, because it's living and dynamic, responds. So everything you do to the body creates a response. And what happens when that SSRI is there and you keep that stuff in that terminal too long or longer is the body starts making less of it. It makes less of it. Why should it make more of it? It'll make less because what it makes is being utilized better. So now you make less. And then you need to take more Prozac or more of something else. More of Valium, more Klonopin. So everything you do to the body when you're on a drug is short-term because the body's going to modulate. So now I'm going to introduce another word. There's a great deal of modulation at the receptor site. Receptor sites morph. They change. They get competed with by other things. There's a million things going on there. You change one thing, you change 50 things. So back to an SSRI, back to somebody who doesn't make enough serotonin and is depressed. Well, maybe they have tryptophan deficiency. Maybe they have a 5-HTP deficiency. Maybe they don't have enough phenylalanine, theanine. We don't know. You don't know. In a sense, no one knows. Thus the inquiry. And just if you're regularly healthy, if you're functional, but you just can't get your edge, you go do an IV drip of these amino acids at your local place there. You got Murray Susser in West Los Angeles on Motor and National. Wonderful doctor, good guy, understands how to do it. For people in extreme levels of drug addiction, people that are going to kill themselves, well, you've got Susser here, you've got Hammerstadt, John Hammerstadt, he's an MD down in San Diego. Hammerstadt worked with Bill Hitt, H-I-T-T. Bill Hitt was a guy who really, really pioneered this stuff and got into it heavy. And his, of course, his center was in Mexico. He's not with us anymore, but he understood it. Richard Allen, Dick Allen, out in West L.A. is another guy. Much tougher to find today. And people who don't have drug addiction, people who are not in extreme withdrawal, will go in and get hooked up to these things. And they feel better. And it's not addictive. And there is no cost. It's just using concentrations of what's in food, amino acids. Now you, on the other hand, can do the same thing. And for some of you, it'll be necessary. For some of you, it'll be, you don't feel anything. Why? Because you're doing a pretty good job of doing it already. But how many people have anxiety? And how many people are depressed? So, let's continue for those of you who are on these drugs. Somebody out there listening today is on Celexa or Prozac or Wellbutrin or Ativan. Somebody's on Valium. Somebody's on lithium. Somebody's on Klonopin. Somebody's on Xanax. When you have too much in that synaptic cleft for too long, you stop making as much. This is one thing. The second thing that happens, okay, well, when that happens, what happens when you go off the drug then? Well, you already guessed it. Now you don't have any uptake inhibitor keeping in the synapse longer the serotonin you made. That doesn't happen anymore. But what did happen? You stopped making as much serotonin. So when you go into withdrawal, the problem with withdrawal is that the adaptation at the synaptic cleft is now going to work against you. On the SSRI, you stopped making serotonin because the serotonin you made stayed in the synapse longer. Now you're off the serotonin. Now you're off the Prozac. And it won't stay in the cleft longer, but you're not making as much. And that's the withdrawal. Here's another one that happens. The benzodiazepines, Valium, Klonopin. These are the worst of the withdrawal drugs. If you work with this, if you even read the literature, nothing's worse than getting off of benzodiazepine, Klonopin. Worse than heroin. The withdrawal symptomologies are unbelievable. You wish you were dead. You think you've been flown off to a foreign world in Jupiter somewhere and left alone for relentless torture. It's about how this stuff works. I've seen it about 10 times in my life with different people. It's bad. That's why they always tell you to taper down correctly. But for your edification, which is critical, we're going to tie it together. Here's the thing. Let's talk about the synaptic cleft. I'm going to take you to a different picture. Go to picture number 18. Now let's talk about GABA. GABA is derived from glutamine. GABA receptors are all over your brain. GABA receptors are all over your intestines. GABA receptors are in all your organs. GABA is the neurotransmitter that slows you down. GABA relaxes you. GABA allows your, now here's your education, your parasympathetic flow. GABA allows the celiac ganglion, the superior mesenteric ganglion, the inferior mesenteric ganglion. GABA allows all your sacral parasympathetic nerves. GABA allows your vagus nerve to work. You hear me, if you listen to this show, talk all the time about the vagus nerve coming out of the head, cranial nerve 10, down the neck, structurally blocked in the neck too often, so on and so forth. Controlling your ability to slow down and repair. Slow down and repair. Relax, calm, take a breath, feel love, let the endorphins flow. Vagus nerve. The vagus nerve doesn't work if GABA doesn't work. And GABA doesn't work if the vagus nerve doesn't work. They're both in reciprocity with each other. Now let's take Valium. Let's take Klonopin. Let's take Xanax. Xanax. X-A-N-A-X. And let's talk about the neural junction there. So this is picture number 18. You've got a pre- and postsynaptic neuron. That's what I've explained to you. You've got that space in between. That's the synapse. Now, those big blue things are receptor sites. And those receptor sites receive the GABA. They receive it. With Valium, with the benzodiazepines, with Klonopin, which people take to calm themselves down. So GABA is used, rather Klonopin, Valium, Xanax, are anti-anxiety meds. They calm you down. The SSRIs make you feel euphoric. Slightly different use. The benzodiazepines calm you down. And they're in deep communion with GABA. GABA, which is derived from glutamine, which is used in your body and made at all times to calm you down. So a healthy baby that's had a nice 9 months in the womb, that's being breastfed from parents that are in love with each other, grows up happy and calm, knows how to love, knows how to receive love, give love, has balance and coordination in its movements and in its life's choices, and grows up well adapted, right? It doesn't cry, it doesn't get colic, it has a good appetite, it sleeps 8 to 10 straight hard hours. It's making enough GABA. And that GABA is keeping it calm, mediated by electrical impulses through the parasympathetic nervous system, the autonomic nervous system. And the receptor, the thing you're looking at in the blue, receives the GABA. Now, what are drugs about? GABA drugs, benzodiazepines, Valium, Klonopin, Xanax. What they do is they go to the receptor site. And the receptor site opens itself to GABA and says, come on in. Only it says, come on in a more embracing way. It receives it more intensely. It facilitates reception. The receptor site is facilitated. We say the chloride channels open to a benzodiazepine. So you just think of it as those blue things waving at the GABA, but on the drug, they really wave at the GABA. They suck the GABA in much more intensely. Now, what do you think your body does? Again, when GABA is facilitated, it makes less of it. It can afford to make less of it. In addition to which, with the benzodiazepines, all those receptor sites, some of them just die off. They just go away. They're not needed anymore. Why should we have 15 receptor sites across the synapse when 10 will do? Why will 10 do now? Because 10 have been facilitated by the drug. So when you do something like Klonopin, Valium, Xanax is one that works its way into everybody. I mean, these drugs have different addictive rates and different levels of intensity and so on and so forth. So don't get scared if you're on these. But what happens is if you're producing, if what you're producing has been facilitated at the receptor site in the blue, the 15 receptor sites shrink to 10. And then you make less GABA because it's been facilitated. But what happens? Well, you see, that's the thing. The body gets used to it and you need more and more. Now your doses go up. You start with half a milligram, a quarter milligram, and you're on 15 to 20 milligrams a year later. That's how it goes with the benzodiazepines. I mean, that's an unbelievable course there. The SSRIs don't quite work that dangerously, but that's why they say getting off the benzodiazepines is very hard to do. It's very painful to do this. I'm watching somebody do this right now. It's unbelievable to watch someone do this. It's unbelievable to watch a healthy, euphoric type of individual plummet to the point where he wants to just disintegrate. It's not even a level of, it's not suicide. It's not, you just want to disintegrate your being because the feelings are so sickening. And there's pain involved and the rest of it. I don't know, some of you are old enough to remember French Connection 2 with Gene Hackman. Remember when he ODs, when they force him to do heroin, they addict him to heroin, and then he has to get off the heroin, and he's in this crummy little ghetto, this room somewhere in New York City, and he spends that night or two getting himself off heroin. Cold turkey, we call it. No weaning down. Unbelievable scene in French Connection 2. Really a prolific sort of representation of what you suffer when you get through that stuff. Now, what's the idea here? The idea here is the receptor sites die because they're not needed, and you produce less GABA. And now, because you're on too much, you go off it. You start to go off it. And what are you left with? So what's withdrawal? Again, you're not making as much, and you don't even have as much receptor sites for it. So when you have a GABAergic issue, in other words, when you're going off, when you're not making enough GABA, or you're withdrawing from drugs and not making enough GABA, or you're not making enough serotonin, or withdrawing from drugs so you're not making enough serotonin. Well, in the case of GABA, you can't transmit impulses through your relaxation nerve line, and that is your parasympathetic nerves. You lose vagal function. Your vagus nerve doesn't do what it's supposed to do, and you are left spinning in massive high anxiety. So these are the pitfalls, then, of doing these drugs, which is not to say some people, when they go through serious emotional trauma, don't need these drugs. All right. We're getting you to the punchline. You're following. No one has a headache. You're all understanding. Go to picture number 20. Glutamate. Let's say a word about glutamate. Glutamate is another amino acid derivative. It's another neurotransmitter. Go to picture 19. That's even better. Now we're talking about glutamate. And glutamate and GABA have a relationship. GABA is made from glutamine. Glutamate is made from glutamine. And the whole concept here is that glutamate across the synapse speeds you up. GABA slows you down. So GABA and glutamate have to be in balance with each other. When there's not enough GABA and too much glutamate, you're hyper. When it's all GABA and not enough glutamate, you've got the opposite problem. And of course, all this is mediated through the sympathetic versus parasympathetic nervous system. That's the concept I want you to have. Now, if you go to picture 20, there's a concept there. On the top, excitatory presynaptic terminal, inhibitory presynaptic terminal. Excitatory means speed it up. Inhibitory means slow up down. And you've got GABA receptors in the green and glutamate receptors in the yellow. And that's the concept I want you to have, that you are about speed up and slow down in balance to create endorphins. Speed up glutamate, slow down GABA in right balance that allows you to have the endorphin experience, which means enkephalins, endorphins, even DMT, a third set of chemicals. You're this chemical soup. And if it's in balance, you get stoned. The proof? Now we've got to bring in Eastern medicine. Press a point and feel the chi flow. Do a stretch and feel the prana. Take a breath and feel your body go into a bliss state. Go out into the desert and fast and pray to the Lord and feel yourself elevate in communion with God. You got it. Or not. Or go to Ralph's, starve yourself to death, hate your job, hate your life, live in smog, live in pollution, and then ask yourself why your marriage doesn't work. Or ask yourself why you hate your kids. Or ask yourself why you're a bundle of negativity and depression. And then go out and take a drug. Or go out and buy a nutritional supplement. You see? And that's why I do this show. This is the bigger picture. You have to look at yourself from a lot of angles here and know that as you build these neurotransmitters back into balance and do all the good things for your health, your body starts to extract pleasure from your daily environment. So if I'm in communion with somebody who's in the K-hole, who's in withdrawal, who's in a deep, dark chasm, what they have to master is the ability to extract pleasure from the day-to-day of life. And if you use the exercises of health, yoga, qigong, tai chi, kung fu, massage, cleansing, breathing, being at the beach, putting your feet in the sand, using the clays, all the things my 220 shows are about, well, then what that person does is he has or she has an opportunity to exercise enough pleasure and daily experience to stimulate balance in these neurotransmission systems. That is a far better choice than SSRIs and Valium. That is also a much deeper, comprehensive, broad-range model than simply going to the store and buying tryptophan or glutamine. You've got to understand that too. This is not just a critique on how the allopaths work. It's a critique on how we view nutritional medicine. And you, the public, you have to understand it. Change doesn't come typically from the academics. It doesn't come from the government. It comes from a change in consciousness within the public sector. You're the public sector. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you're strolling along and lost in the chaos of trying to understand how to navigate yourself, give that number a call, come down, make the appointment, and my staff and I will see if we can set you on the right course. Of course, please get a subscription ahead of time. I should have brought that woman on the show today. It's just such a marvelous thing to experience somebody taking serious, serious illness and on her own, for the most part on her own, curing her own disease. There's no law against you curing your disease. When there is, start looking for the bullets. But right now, there's no law against you curing your own disease. We may be forcing vaccines down your throat, killing your food population, filling you with drugs. But right now, on the books, as long as the Constitution holds, you're still allowed to heal yourself. And that just means education. It's going to be very hard for anybody to stop education. And it's there. It's there. It's right there for you. Get to my website. Get these shows into your body and work the shows. Even my own clients don't get on these shows enough. America has to understand that we need to move health not into a pastime or a detour, but into a mainstream sort of consciousness. That's the cutting edge here. That's the only thing that delivers. I haven't seen anything else deliver from herbs to drugs. They don't deliver. They help, but they leave you miserable anyway. You can put my name on that. All right, so what do? Other than understand, which is everything. Yeah, don't knock me off my chair. Don't listen to the show and say, okay, so now what do I do? See, I'll have a heart attack someday from that. Don't do that to me. What do? I should get off the air right now. I just told you what to do. Educate yourself and let yourself connect to your own inner intelligence. And if you can't, keep working because you can. But if I was going to get more specific about what you do, let's go to the bottom here. Picture 32, theanine. Picture 20, 33, tryptophan. Tryptophan is probably, pound for pound, your best serotonin precursor. Throughout a day, 1,500 milligrams, 2,000 milligrams, 3,000 milligrams. Nobody knows. Start little and build it up. See what works for you. I wouldn't do one amino acid alone. Glutamine, critical. Critical for the entire... If there's a GABA precursor, it's two things. A GABA precursor is actually sugar. Did you know that? In the brain, the body uses blood glucose. When you watch people detox off benzodiazepines, clonopin, they crave sugar all the time. Why? The brain needs the sugar to make the GABA. Then your nutritionist is sitting there, no, sugar's bad. Don't do sugar. See, this is why I do the show. People don't do the research. They don't understand the hard stuff. They do these internet scans to get a little bit of information, but they don't understand the science. If you're trying to get off anything along the lines of the GABA, the benzodiazepines, you're going to crave sugar. Eat sugar. Eat starch. Do it. Your brain needs it because your brain is fueling, okay, the production of the GABA in the brain. GABA does not cross the blood-brain barrier. So you'll hear people say, don't take GABA supplements. 2 grams a day, 3 grams a day. Spread it out. Do it on an empty stomach. The amino acids you take in on an empty stomach. Add anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 to 2,000 grams of phenylalanine in. Add about 800 to 1,200 milligrams spread out of theanine. Make yourself a little cocktail. And distribute it on an empty stomach away from food. Get it in and have a little carb with it. And do that and watch it work for you. And if it doesn't work, play with the dose. And if it doesn't work, ask yourself what outside the amino acids that control mood. Oh, what is that? 220 shows to tell you what is that. Your overall health is more critical to your mood than amino acid supplementation. So you've got to integrate the big picture with the mid-range picture with the immediate picture. And if you do that, you're understanding medicine, and you'll know how to navigate yourself out of the storm. And it is a storm. We are in a storm. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you want some help getting yourself out of the storm and you come ready, give us a call. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.